the book Hebrews, part 201. I'm Professor Hannes Redenhuis of the First Assembly of Yapashua, South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, you are very welcome to contact me at my WhatsApp number. Before I give the WhatsApp number, I'm just thinking about the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rotterdam version, the one that's been translated by Dr. Joseph Briand Rotterdam, 1860. Should you require any of these information or a Bible like this, you can contact us at our WhatsApp number, 07+27 international code, 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. This is the first time that you are about to participate in the study. You are so very, very welcome. Please go to part one, start from the beginning, because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. It's also important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of all the studies that we are busy with. Please send this link to your friends and family and to those that's dear to you. Make sure you at least have a 16 Bible ready, a pen and a notepad. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. Every morning, it's such a blessing just to participate in the Word, the revelation Word of Yahweh, our Elohim. Now it says Hebrew 10 verse 12. We continue verse 12. Hebrew 10 verse 12. It says now, but this man, now this is referring to Yahushua. So that man must surely be in a capital letter, and you can put in brackets, Yahushua. But this man, after he, capital H, he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh Almighty. I can't understand why. I understand, but it's hard to grasp how Satan infiltrated the minds of the people who translated the 1611 King James Bible with all this information of capital letters just left out. And again I say this, so I'm going to say it again. Having small letters in strategic places dilute you from the truth, understanding who is speaking to whom and at what time. If there's capital letters on the right spots, on the right places, it makes Bible reading so very, very easily. But this man, Yahushua, I just want to say something here. Somebody contacted me the other day and said, Prof, for many, many, many years of my life, my Bible was so precious and so holy that I wouldn't make a pen mark in it because our church taught us like that. He says, but since I got involved in your studies for the last 2.5 years, my Bible looks like a coloring book with all the different colors of highlighters and also spot finders, and also notes that we are making in the back of the Bible. And this is what the Bible is. The things in the Bible, the Word, the revelation Word, anointed by the Ruach HaKodesh, becomes a Rima Word. It becomes powerful. But without the Ruach HaKodesh, it's just a book to many people. And if I can use my Bible correcting everything that I'm leading you, and I'm showing you, it's your right to decide whether you want to change it or not. And put it in scriptures in brackets. It makes your Bible so easy when sometimes you want to discuss it with somebody, you can have it right in front of you. When you read it, it's right there. And this is what it is. The Bible is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. Hallelujah. But this man, Yahushua, after he, capital H, had made offer, so he offered himself one sacrifice for sins forever. He doesn't need to continue weekly, yearly, in making sacrifice for sins. After he has done it, 2,000 years ago, he ascended into heaven, and he sits down on the right hand of Yahweh. Why on the right hand? Because he is the right hand. Isaiah 53. Go study Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 9, verse 5 and 6. Go study it. A child was born unto us, a son was given unto us. And the chastisement was upon his shoulders. Hallelujah. Go study it. He was the right hand of the Father. That's why he sat on the right hand. Verse 13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He ascended into heaven until his enemies be made his footstool. But I thought that when Yahushua died on the cross, he overpowered all his enemies. What do you say? Did he or didn't he? He did. But what does the scripture say? What does it mean? What does the figurative speech in verse 13 really tells us? From henceforth, expecting till his, that was a capital H, his, Yahushua's, enemies be made his, capital H, footstool. Now, which enemies is not his footstool? Which enemies is not submitted under his feet? Can you tell? Well, if you listened before, a couple of times I've mentioned it as we were going along. When Yahushua died and he went into a realm of death, he took the keys from Satan of Hades and 1 Corinthians 15, 58, 57, 58. He says, death, where is your sting? Where's your sting? Hades, where's your power? I'm just translating it for myself now in English, from Afrikaans to English. Death, where's your victory? Where's your victory? Yeah, but he took control of everything. He didn't. There's one thing that Yahushua didn't take control of after he returned from Hades. What was that? That was death. Yeah, but he's got the keys of death. You see, what we must understand, when Father Yahweh spoke to Adam, he says, there's the tree of life and the tree of death. If you should eat of this tree, you will surely die. So when he ate of it, when Eve gave to him and he ate of it, but it wasn't an apple tree. It was sex they had in the Garden of Eden. Because she first had sex with the serpent. It's not just a snake, it was a serpent. It's a straight up being, looking like a human. Tell me, did they still continue living in the Garden of Eden? No. When Yahweh called upon them in the evening breeze, and they say, we are naked. Didn't Yahweh knew they were naked? He knew they were naked, but he wanted them to admit they've sinned. Who have told you? Eve told me. And Eve, who told you? The serpent told me. And then came the curse. The curse that was made to Adam, because the curse was never made to Eve. Did you know that? Yahweh never in Genesis spoke to Eve, telling her not to eat of the tree of earth, of the tree of life. The tree of good and evil and the tree of life. He told Adam. He told Adam. But the serpent was so intelligent. He remembered what Yahweh told Adam. So it wasn't a little snake. It was a serpent. A straight up creature. Being. Beast. Who told you? The serpent. And then he cursed Eve and he cursed Adam. And from that very moment that he spoke the curse, and then he cursed the serpent, he says, from this moment you will be a snake, not a serpent, a snake, and you will eat dust. So he took away the glory that the serpent had, and he made him a snake. The serpent wasn't a snake hanging out of a tree with an apple showing it to Eve. This was the lies that the church taught us for more than 600 years. Why? Because the Protestant church was influenced by the Catholic church, or let me say, was originally became the Catholic church teachings and dogma. So what happened? So Adam and Eve died, and all the descendants after Adam died, and they died till the day that Yahushua went in, after he died on the cross, went into Hades and took the keys and the Hades and the realm of death. But tell me, from that moment the people still died? Yes. But I thought 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57-58 said, death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? You see, when Yahushua returned from the dead, had the keys of eternal life. The keys that said to Adam and Eve, the everlasting life that you had in the Garden of Eden, Yahushua brought it back to mankind, to those that becomes bright. Everlasting life. You will live although you have died. We will be changed from the earthly into a glorified body, meeting Yahushua in the air. Why? Because he's got the keys of life. If he had the keys of death, why in 2025, today, people are still dying? Come on, help me. You see, the church has taught us he had the keys of life and death. He had them. He took the keys of life and brought it back. And by offering his own life, he gave us, who are his bride and who are your fist, he gave us back eternal life. That which Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden nearly 6,000 years ago. That which they lost. What did Yahushua do? He gave it back to mankind. What do we have today? We live, although we have died. It's a promise. That's a promise. Why? Because he brought back eternal life. And that's why he paid with his life for it. But he did not return with the keys of death. He doesn't have... People is dying every day. Go to the cemetery. There's graves from a little baby still 120 years old, 110 years old. Why? We were made to understand the last 2,000 years that people live forever. We don't. Why? Because we were told Jesus got the keys of life and death. He has the keys of life. He doesn't have the keys of death. That is still functioning, and that is what is his enemy. And that needs to become his footstool, according to Hebrews 10 verse 13. Everything he obtained, everything, but he has not obtained victory over death. The spiritual death, yes, he has victory over the spiritual death which Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. But today, 2025, Yahushua, for the last 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years, he hasn't got victory over death. Because if he did, then nobody would have died since the last 2,000 years. Come on, just think about it. And that's why I say, if you go to the graveyard, you see different graves. Small graves and large graves. Young and old graves. Why? Because death today is still functioning. And it will be functioning till after the white throne judgment, Revelation 20 verse 11. I'm just taking the scriptures. Revelation 20 verse 11. Only thereafter death will be cast into the lake of fire. And then he will become the footstool of Yahushua in heaven. Today, death is not the footstool. It's functioning. Something nice to think about. We'll discuss it tomorrow morning if his Father's will. Maranatha. Yahushua is coming back again. Hallelujah.